And as you turn there, I want to sing a song for you. And a very familiar passage of Scripture. And I'm thankful that the Lord still saves sinners. And this is what this song is about. Song's entitled The Prodigal Son. Like the prodigal son, I wandered from Jesus. I traded my life for worldly good time. No peace in my heart I ever could find. I got so tired, even after the swine. So I believe I'll go home and eat with the Father. The table is spread and waiting for me. I can see the Father coming down to greet me. Lord, I'm willing to be a servant for Thee. Like the prodigal son, I wandered from Jesus. But the good shepherd saw, through the heat and the cold, the nighty and nine, he left in the fold. Just to find this lost sheep that was hungry and cold. So I believe I'll go home and eat with the Father. The table is spread and waiting for me. I can see the Father coming down to greet me. Lord, I'm willing to be a servant for Thee. Lord, I'm willing to be a servant for Thee. Now, Luke chapter 15 actually is one complete parable. If you look at chapter 15, look at verse number 1, 2, and 3 to begin with. By way of introduction, it says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying." Now when you read verses number 4, down to verse number 7, it talks about the shepherd seeking and finding his sheep. And you'll see the work of the Son in salvation. You come to verse 8, 9, and 10. It deals with a woman diligently seeking and finding a lost coin. And there it talks about the Spirit of God in our salvation. And then finally, you come to verse 11, to verses number 24 at the end of the chapter. You'll find it talks about the Father and the love of the Father receiving His Son. And there again, the work of the Father in salvation. And so, when you read Luke chapter 15, it's one complete parable with three parts to it, talking about salvation. And of course, you understand that all three persons of the triune God have part in saving the sinner. And so that you understand then, there's rejoicing. When you look at verse number 6, the Bible says, And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. So there's rejoicing over a lost sheep. And the sheep, of course, talks about one of God's people. And then verse number 9 says, And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. And there again, there is the rejoicing over a lost coin. And when you come to verse 24, it says, for this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Look at verse 32. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead, and is alive again, and was lost, and is found. So there again, there's more rejoicing over a lost son. The point is this, we ought to rejoice, amen, over the sinner. And then, of course, the primary meaning of this particular parable there in Luke chapter 15 about the prodigal son talks about him being dead and now alive, talks about him being lost, but now he is found. So there you see then, salvation is of the Lord and is displayed in these parables. And we're going to look at now the parable about the prodigal son, and beginning now in verse number 11, and so he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided to them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him unto his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose, and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a finger on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this is my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. Let's pray. Father, we thank you now for the reading of your word. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, in verses number 11, down to verse number 16, you're going to see the rebellion and the fall of a son. The rebellion and fall of a son. Verses 17 down to verse number 19, you're going to see repentance and faith of a sinner. Repentance and faith of a sinner. And finally, verses 20 through verses 24, you're going to see rejoicing and the forgiveness of a sovereign. Rejoicing and the forgiveness of a sovereign. Now, sometimes when you hear this particular parable being taught or preached, sometimes they preach it in reference to a backslider. But I believe this is more in line with a sinner getting saved in the context. And so you'll notice now, in verse number 12, you'll find the Bible says this, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living. You're going to see an act of rebellion from the son. Now, you understand that what the son is wanting, he's wanting all of his inheritance that he believes that he has coming to him. Well, you understand the father does give to his son the inheritance and is able to, the son's able to take it with him. Now, you understand this, that if you look back at Genesis and remember the story about Adam, and of course, what Adam did, you know, he lost all of his inheritance because of his sin of rebellion And you understand that Adam did not go into sin ignorantly or blindly. He went into sin willingly. He knew exactly what he was doing. Eve was deceived in the fall, but Adam wasn't. Adam chose to have fellowship with his wife more than having fellowship with God. And so, as a willful act, as a free will act, if you want to put it that way, Adam did have a free will. He chose his wife over God. He chose sin and rebellion over what was right, you see. Well, because of Adam's fall, all of us are born sinners. This morning, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you have a fallen nature that you got from your Adam, from your father Adam, and the Bible says you're a sinner, and the Bible says for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So you're lost this morning without Christ. Well, Adam lost all that he had. Here's a young man who is also going to lose everything that he has. Now he gathers his substance, the Bible says in verse number 13, gathers all this up, and he takes it, and he says, and took his journey to a far country. Well, you understand it's probably impossible. Well, it is impossible to take land or take animals, amen. So no doubt, he probably cashed it all in, got his money. And the Bible says he takes it, and he goes into a far country. Well, then you understand now, he's taking his inheritance, and he's going to spend it and use it as he chooses to. The Bible says he wasted his substance with riotous living. In other words, it's talking about he spent his money freely. And he's going to a far country. Well, his intention was this. He was going to have a good time. He was tired of rules and regulations at home. He had a mind to be his own man, do his own thing. And when he got to a far country, there was no intentions of coming back. He was going away and going away for good. And you know, I'm surprised that, you know, people still think that way, but they do, don't they? I mean, all young people think that way. They're looking for the day that they can grow up, get out of the house, and make it on their own, and when they get out there, they find it's not quite as wonderful as they thought it was. But you understand, here's a young man who did that, and in his rebellion, left home, spent all he had, and went to a far country with no intentions of returning. Well, you understand this, when Adam fell into sin, he also fell completely to the bottom. He lost everything. And not only did he go away from God, but you understand this, he had not the ability to return because of his fallen estate. This morning, if you're lost without Christ, you also don't have the ability to come to the Father in your fallen estate. Because of Adam's sin, you're dead in trespasses and sin, the Bible says. Because of Adam's sin, your nature is to rebel and go against God. You don't have the strength and power in yourself to even come back to God or go to Him, you see. Well, Adam lost everything. Here's a young man now who has lost everything. The Bible says this in verse number 13, or verse 14, and he went, and when he had spent all there, arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Well, when he lost everything, the Bible says there was a famine that came to the land. He went completely bankrupt in verse number 14, and notice verse 15 what he has to do. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. Now you understand this, that in some countries, in order for you to gain employment, you've got to become a citizen. Some years ago when we were in Canada, one of the things that we had to sign a document saying that we would not seek employment there because we were not citizens of that country. And you can't just go to Canada and go to work. Now, the Canadians are allowed to come to the United States, and America will allow them to work, you see. But in some countries, they won't allow that. And you understand now, here's a young man, of course, he's not just a typical young man, he happens to be a Jewish young man. And so not only has he rebelled against his father and lost all of his inheritance, but because of his circumstance, he is forced now to become a citizen of another country so he can gain employment. Now notice what the Bible says there. And he sent him unto his fields to feed swine. Well, most of us realize that Jews don't have anything to do with hogs. Amen? They won't eat them. They won't touch them. They're considered to be unclean. And just won't have anything to do with hogs or hog meat or anything like that. So here's a young man who has not only become a citizen of another country, but actually now he's doing something that is against his culture, against his family, his upbringing. He's doing some things that's against all that he was taught. He's out there feeding hogs. And just to show you how far he went, it got to the place where he's going to have to eat the food that the hogs ate. Well, that's pretty low, isn't it? Well, the point is this, you understand that when men and women rebel against God, and they turn their backs upon the Lord and begin to go deeper into sin, there's no telling where you may end up at. And there are a lot of good people who have been raised up in good families, good homes, and taught, and even being brought to church. But when sin is in their life, they yield to it. You'll find some of them end up on Skid Row or somewhere out there as drunkards, or their life gets messed up. Why? Because sin destroyed their lives. They went farther than they intended to go. They become a slave, become a captive, and some fall very down to the very bottom. Well, you understand this morning, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior. You may be of the opinion that you're not that bad of a person. Well, you may not be a very bad person in regards to being morally right. But you're certainly as bad off. Because your sin nature, you being a sinner without Christ in your heart, is enough to carry you on to hell. And that's where you're going if Christ does not intervene in your life. And just as this young man was bankrupt and lost everything that he had, if you're lost without Christ this morning, that's where you stand. Now you understand this, then. Here's a young boy that is down at the very bottom. He has lost all of his inheritance. From the human standpoint, there's no way he can do any better. He's helpless. There's no hope. Well, notice now, verse number 17. The Bible says this, "And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger." Well, you see not only the rebellion and the fall of the son, but you see now repentance and faith of a sinner. Now, notice the phrase there. He says, he came to himself. Now, you understand this, that salvation is not in a prayer. Salvation is not walking the aisle or making a decision. Salvation is of the Lord. Now, the Bible says he came to himself. Now, what's happening here is a supernatural work that's taking place from God toward this Jewish boy. And when the Bible says he came to himself, notice what he realized. He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? What happened? I mean, the boy just finally woke up, wasn't it? I mean, here I am slopping hogs, lost all my money, barely getting by, and back home, my father, he's got servants that's living and doing better than I'm doing. Amazing what happens when the Lord wakes you up, isn't it? There's a blessing we got here yesterday, and seeing old Johnny sitting back there. His parents called us up when the Lord saved him. I told him, well, yesterday was the first time I saw him since he's been saved. Amen. That was a blessing. But it's amazing when God just finally turns the light on and wakes you up. There you were, lost in sin, and when the Lord turns that light on and you come to yourself and you wonder, well, man, what am I doing here? How could I have ever rejected a Savior? How could I have ever just continued this lifestyle when I know there's something better? Question be right, why didn't I do this sooner? Well, we understand that when the Lord saved us, He saved us right on time. Not a moment later, not a moment sooner, but I mean right on time. God in divine providence brought you to the place where you were at, and at that time appointed, God revealed Himself to you. In this case, the Bible says, and He came to Himself. Well, did you understand then, God is working repentance in a young man's life. First of all, you see there's a change of mind. Talks about the intellect. He came to himself. And then you notice there in verse 18 it says this. This is what he says now. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. He says now, when I get back home, I'm going to tell my father that I have sinned against heaven and before him. Or before thee. Now, there's also a change of heart here. The statement when he says, Father, I have sinned. You understand this? When God saved us from our sin, not only did He wake us up, there was a change of mind, but there was also a change of heart. Because you understand that we realized that we had offended God. We were guilty as sinners. And that burden and that weight and that guilt of sin lay heavy on our hearts. And God woke us up. And not only did He wake us up, but you understand this, that He caused us to have a change of heart. As a matter of fact, we began to feel sorry. Why? Because we knew what we were. For the first time in our life, we saw ourselves as God saw us. And you understand this morning, if you ever get saved, it'll be because God changes your mind, it also changes your heart, and gets you to see yourself as God sees you. We're plagued today with this, what they call decisional regeneration. And I hear it in our part of the country all the time, come and make a decision for Christ. We had 25 decisions last week. Well, I understand human responsibility enters into salvation. I understand that. But you, what they're implying is these folks have made some decisions, and brother, I made a decision this morning, I decided to come to church. Amen? But that don't save me. I'm going to make some decisions at the meal table here after a while. But you understand this, it's a work of God in it. A change of heart. And the very first thing he realized, not only had God woke him up, but he had sinned against the Father. One thing for sure, when the Lord saves a sinner, He's going to take care of that rebellious nature. That heart of sin, that rebellion that's there. And not only was there a change of mind, a change of heart, talking about the intellect, the emotions, but now he says in verse 18, he says, I will arise and go to my Father. There is a change of will, a change of direction. He says, I'll arise and go. The Lord not only changes your mind and heart, but He points you in the direction you need to go and you want to go. Amen? God has never saved anybody against their will. Everyone who gets saved and they want to get saved. Amen? And they willingly and freely want to come. When the Lord grants repentance, and you understand this, that repentance is a grace that comes from God. You cannot repent without God first changing your mind, changing your heart, and changing your will. Well, then of course, faith, trusting and believing is also a gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, but the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But you understand that salvation is of the Lord. He grants repentance. He grants faith. Both being a fruit of regeneration. When the Lord told Nicodemus that day, you must be born again. God gives the sinner the ability to repent and believe, and it comes from Him. Salvation of the Lord. If you're lost this morning, what a sinner needs to do is ask for mercy. That God might give you a heart to repent with and give you the faith that you need to believe in Christ Jesus, that you might be saved from your sin. No, Brother Raymond, how do I know that God is dealing with my heart? Well, one thing for sure, before the Lord saved me, I had no interest in going to church, reading the Bible. I didn't care about hearing preaching. Had no interest at all. But when the Lord began to deal with my life, I went to church. And I listened to preaching. And granted, I didn't understand everything he was talking about, but I went. And what I didn't realize at the time, that God in providence was working in my life. So the point is this morning, if you're lost without Christ, you're not here by accident, you're here by divine appointment. God has placed you in a place where you can hear the Word of God, hear the truth. Why? Because the Bible says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. He uses the Word of God and the power of God to quicken lives unto Himself. And be assured that God is working behind the scenes. And when the time comes, you'll come to yourself. You'll have a change of mind, a change of heart, a change of direction. God will give you the faith that you need to put your trust in Him. It'll all be there when the time comes. Well, here's a young man now that arises and goes to his father. Look at verses 20. Through verses 24, you see now repentance and faith in a sinner. And now you're going to see rejoicing and forgiveness of the sovereign. Notice what verse 20 says. And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now notice the phrase that says, but when he was yet a great way off. You understand that God is never caught by surprise. As a matter of fact, the Father Himself has purposed and planned everything to every detail. So here comes this young man now going back to the Father's house, and the Father sees him coming. The Father's not caught by surprise. And when the Son gets there, notice the Bible says, and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The Father's not caught by surprise, but at the same time I'm glad that He has compassion for the sinner. At this point in life, if anybody needs compassion, this boy needs it, doesn't he? I mean, he's lost everything. I mean, he found out that he thought he had friends, that he didn't have no friends at all because they abandoned him when he got all his money was gone. He had to endure becoming a citizen of another country. Working in the hog pen. And evidently the boy was in pretty bad shape because he didn't even have any shoes on when he got there. The Father had compassion on him. Those of you who are lost this morning without Christ, I want to assure you that when a sinner comes, there'll be compassion. I mean, most of us understand when we talk about loving somebody and being compassionate to a degree. But you'll never experience anything greater than experiencing God's compassion on you. Knowing that you have rebelled, knowing that you have offended, and you see yourself as God sees you, and God's still reaching down and showing you mercy, and loving you, and showing compassion to you, even though you're undeserving, you understand this? What a great benefit, what a great feeling it is to know that God can show you and love you in such a way that your sins are removed and forgiven. And you can rejoice knowing that God has done something in your life. The burden's lifted. You understand this, that the Father not only showed compassion, but the Bible says He fell on His neck and kissed Him. In verse 21, and the Son said to Him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and thy sight is no more worthy to be called thy Son. Well, verse 21 gives evidence of real conversion because here comes public confession. The Father already knew that His Son had rebelled. The Father already knew the shape His Son was in. But the Son confessed His sin before the Father anyway. And you see, when a sinner confesses his sin to the Father, what he's saying is this, Father, I'm in agreement with You. You were right, I was wrong. And you understand this, genuine conversion brings about confession. A few weeks ago, we were having meetings in Honolulu, Oklahoma. And we've been meeting there, I guess, pushing 20 years now, every summer. With the exception of 2 or 3 years where Deborah couldn't go, we couldn't go. And it's probably been about 15 years ago before we saw some folks get saved there. Well, some of them now are adults and they've got their own children and coming there to that meeting. It's been a long time since we've seen anybody get saved. But this past June, I was preaching on Thursday evening, and the Lord just seemed to really move in that service that night. And a young woman about 22, 23 years old got saved that night. We rejoiced. Well, come Friday morning in the morning service, a young man about 15 or 16 got saved. Then come Friday night, the Lord just moved in such a way that we had seven more. And what was the blessing was, when I asked them what they were coming for, they were saying, it was my time, the Lord has called me. And I begin to think about all the preaching that's been going on down through the years. And how the gospel has been taught there. And it wasn't any silliness. There were no bubblegum chewing or kids giggling or silliness there. I mean, there was brokenness there in that service that night. And those of you who have been in services like that know what I'm talking about. You don't see them much anymore. But I'm talking about the kind of service where conviction was so strong that people were coming and people were weeping in the seats and the pews rejoicing over sinners being saved. And then two young girls who were saved, who had gone cold in their Christian life, had come and made public acknowledgments to the church that they had been wrong and wanted to get right with the Lord. But what I liked the best was when those kids said, and those girls said, the Lord called me, it was my time. Well, you understand this, that there was rejoicing that night. And here is a young man that's back home now with his father. And the father does this. He sends for his servants to bring forth the best robe, verse 22, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hands and shoes on his feet. And you understand this, when it talks about the robe, it talks about imputed righteousness. Here's a young man who's been dirty and filthy in sin. Probably still has some of that hog smell on him, amen? And his father clothes him with a robe. And you understand that's what happens in salvation this morning. Without Christ in your heart, you'll go to hell. But if the Lord ever saves you, He'll clothe you with His righteousness. And when He puts that robe on you, the Father sees the righteousness of His Son. Because of that reason, that's why you'll go to heaven. The reason why I'm going to heaven is because of His righteousness, not because I'm good, because I'm not. I still have that sin nature that still is prone to sin. But you understand, because of the righteousness of the Father, that's why I'm going to heaven. Because of the righteousness of the Son, I'm going to heaven. Why? Because He's holy. He's righteous. He's right. I'm no longer condemned, but I've been justified. Declared legally righteous because of the Son of God. This morning, if the Lord saves you, what will happen is this. He'll clothe you with His righteousness. And He'll declare you to be just and righteous based upon the Son of God. Not anything that you've done or will do, but because of Him. Not only will He clothe you in righteousness, but the Bible says He put a ring on His finger. And the ring is symbolic of a covenant. An unending circle, you see. Those whom the Lord saves and justifies and clothes with righteousness, also a covenant is made. As a matter of fact, that covenant was made way before then, amen? And my friend, those whom the Lord saves, He is going to keep. You are kept by the power of God. If you think for a moment, preacher, I'd get saved, but I just don't think I can hang on or make it. Well, it's not based upon what you can do. It's based upon what He does for you. It's the Lord who has kept me all these years. And I'm confident He'll continue to keep me.
All whom the Lord saves, my friend, He keeps them, and not a single one of them will be lost. How do you know? Well, those whom He preserves and keeps, they will persevere. They will live for God. I said earlier it was exciting to hear about Johnny getting saved. It's more exciting, amen, because not only did he get saved, but he's persevering, amen? Now, if it had been one of them empty decisions in the head, 6 weeks later, he'd be doing something else. But genuine salvation that's real will last for an eternity. The fruits and the evidence of it is obvious because they'll become a new creature in Christ. They'll serve the Lord. Not only was a ring put on his feet, the Bible says they also put shoes on his feet. And you understand that the custom of that day was this, that, you know, only sons wore shoes. Well, they put shoes on his feet, amen? It was a mark of sonship. But also, it was a mark of fellowship that he could walk with his Father. You understand this morning, that when the Lord saves you, He'll put shoes on your feet. You're not just a servant. The Son was going to be satisfied just being that. But the Father made it clear, you're not going to just be a servant. You're going to be a son. Amen? Put shoes on His feet. Now He's ready for service. He's identified as a son because of the shoes, the ring, and the robe. My friend, salvation is complete in Christ Jesus. You don't need anything else. The waters of baptism saves no one. Joining the church saves no one. Salvation is of the Lord. It's all complete in Him. So did you find that here's a son they're rejoicing over? The Father is rejoicing that His Son, who was dead, is now alive. Who was lost, but now is found. You understand this morning, without Christ in your heart, you'll die in your sin and go into hell. Our prayer and desire this morning for you is this, that God would show you mercy and wake you up, that you might repent and believe the Lord Jesus Christ. Our desire as the Lord's people ought to be praying along that line. And we believe this morning, there again, God is sovereign, God saves according to purpose, not by accident, but at the same time, that does not eliminate our responsibility to pray. God uses prayer. He uses the Word of God. He uses our witness, our evangelism. These are tools that God uses. Now, I don't understand all that, but I know that He uses those things to deal and to work in the lives of sinners. So let's pray for sinners. Let's invite, let's witness. Last week, we had two young girls get saved at another camp we were in. And it was a blessing to see the Lord touch their hearts. A young man by the name of Daniel Richard. And Daniel had to be raised by his grandparents. And when he was born 70% deaf. And when he was a little guy, we've known him ever since he was real small, he was a character. I mean, just always into it. And he'd turn off his hearing aids. I mean, he really had selective hearing, amen? I mean, he could hear a little bit, but he'd turn them off so he wouldn't have to pay attention to you. The Lord saved him, called him to preach, And his family is a musical family. They're the Higginbotham family, and they sing and pick guitars and all that kind of stuff. His grandmother's a fantastic piano player. And the little boy wanted to take part in the ministry and play the guitar. Well, everybody kind of thought that was impossible because he can't hear. But to hear him pick the guitar and the banjo, it's a miracle to see that young man do it. I mean, he's above exceptional. And the way that he hears is more, he hears the rhythm or the timing some way. And he doesn't miss a beat. As a matter of fact, he can hear something that's off key, off tune, and that really bothers him because of whatever it is that's inside him that does that. But God not only made him a good musician, but God called him to preach. And you have to listen real close to hear what he's got to say because his speech is not very clear. But he preached on John 3:16 that night. And the Lord saved those two young girls. You talk about one young, happy preacher. He was a shouting her out. I mean, he was a having a time. Because God had reached down and saved the sinner. And it's a blessing to see the Lord move. Amen? And it's not anything that Daniel did. The power lies in God and the Word of God. The preaching is of the Lord. But old Daniel did not let his handicaps and his physical imperatives to hinder him in doing what was necessary in reaching sinners with the gospel. And those of us who are healthy, and those of us who don't have maybe a difficulty like that, we ought to be telling others about Christ. And who can tell that God might not just use your witness and your testimony as a tool to speak to hearts. And brother, that's a blessing, amen? It was a blessing for me to see that young man be used of the Lord that way. It helped him. And it's good to see two young ladies receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. As we all stand this morning. The Lord has dealt with your heart. I encourage you, call upon Him. Ask Him for mercy. We're going to pray. And those of us who are saved, let's do pray for sinners this week. Pray, Lord, just touch their hearts. And then we're going to ask the pastor to come and he'll take the service. Father, we thank You now for the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that You would burden our hearts for sinners. Lord, that we would be used of You this week. All of us, Father. The Lord's people, Father, they might be faithful to pray, to witness, to invite, to encourage, share the Word of God. And Father, I pray, Lord, that You might be pleased, Father, to do a work of grace in the hearts of sinners. And Lord, if there be those who are cold in heart among us, Father, I pray that You'd warm their hearts this morning. Thank You, Lord, for the blessings You've given to us. Thank You, Lord, for the work that You'll accomplish and do this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Preacher?